Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to people who want to speak more as a way to build their income and grow their business.
Well, welcome everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. I'm Jane Atkinson, your host, and today we are going to be talking about selling. Our show is called Sales Secret for Closing Bigger Deals. You know, I know some of you might cringe when you hear the word sales. Ah! Others might just dive headlong into the idea of selling, and our goal is to share with you some ideas that perhaps you might not have thought about before and really inspire you pick up that phone or send that email that you've been hesitant to sell, because what we do know for sure is that you do not get 100% of the sales that you don't ask for. Our guest expert today is David Averin. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. I'm going to share a quick bio on you and then we'll dive in. David Averin, CSP, has shared his content-rich, entertaining, hard-hitting presentations across North America and around the world. His company, Visibility International, has brought him to places like Singapore, Bangkok, and Melbourne, just to name a few. David is the author of 4 books, including the acclaimed Visibility Marketing, The No-Holds-Barred Truth About What It Takes to Grab Attention, Build Your Brand, and Win Business, and, very exciting, new book on the horizon for March, Why Customers Leave and How to Win Them Back. Congratulations on that. First,
yes, thank you.
Let's just make sure that we get your name right. Averin, I have heard different names bantered about. Arvin,
don't even say it wrong, because then somebody's going to get it in their mind. Thank you. Bless your heart for saying that. The last name is Averin. It's A-V-R-I-N.
And it's just one of those tricky little spellings that if you're even a little bit dyslexic, I think you could probably get it wrong. Now, on our listenership, we have thousands of speakers, both advanced, full-time pros, and people just starting out. You know, fill in the blanks on this bio and tell us about your speaking career.
Sure. And you know, the fun thing is a lot of the listeners, and of course I listen as well. Everybody knows Jane Atkinson and your wonderful podcast, your wonderful business. What's fun for me is a lot of your listeners are my longtime friends as well. I've been in the National Speaker Association almost 20 years, have been speaking for most of that time, and really went all in full-time speaking about 9 years ago. I started off in marketing and public relations, own my own firm. Then I spent some years consulting. I led Vistage CEO roundtable groups for a number of years as well. And I am full-time speaking. I'm really blessed to do what I do, as so many of us are. I've spoken in 23 countries around the world in the last 6 years. And business is great. But I think the subject we're talking about today is such a big part of it. And let me tell you the genesis really quickly. I was actually at an NSA meeting probably 8 years ago, sitting out by the pool with some friends. And we were talking about our speaking businesses. And Dave Horsehager was one of the guys sitting out there. And I remember talking about my business. And he looked at me and he said, "Dude, you don't have a business." And I said, "What are you talking about? This is like my biggest year ever." He said, No. "You have gigs. Don't you confuse that with a business." He said, "What are you going to do next year?" And I said, "I don't know." He says, "Of course you don't know, because you don't have a system in place to prospect. You don't know who's in the hopper. You don't know who you're following." He says, "You are so headed for a fall." He says, "I know people in this business who have made 7 figures, and 3 years later, they couldn't pay their mortgage because they started feeling a little too confident, a little too big for their britches. They had a new book, and they were very popular, and all of a sudden, the phone stopped ringing." And I will tell you, Jane, I did not sleep that night, because he was absolutely right. And I went back, I made the investment, I hired staff, and we put processes in place. And it has borne tremendous fruit.
You know, I'm so glad that we're talking about this today, because we've been talking all this entire year about systems, sales systems and processes and CRMs, and really making sure that you are feeding that funnel and making sure that people are knowing about you on a regular basis, that the engine is pumping. You can go away for 2 weeks or a month and the engine continues to pump, so that you're not really, you know, the seeding is never stopped. Okay. So I think perhaps there might be some people listening in who they think, but I just want to speak.
Right.
I just want to speak. I don't want to do any of this other stuff.
I know.
So let's speak to the need to sell.
Yes. Let's do it real quick. So here's the thing that for those of us who've had a measure of success in our career, understand, and I know, Jane, you understand this as well. Speaking is not the business. The business is getting the gig. Mm. Speaking is what we do. People talk, I'm passionate. It's burning in my heart. I get all that. I love doing what I do as well. But nobody's going to pay you $10,000 for you to have a cathartic experience on the platform. Nobody's paying you a check for $85,000 for you to live your dream. They're paying you that to solve their problems. Now, we can talk into value proposition. But listen, I'm not a celebrity speaker. I do very well because we sell. Now, to be clear, we don't automate anything. We are not ConfusionSoft people. We are absolute personalized. We know how to find our contacts. Mm-hmm. We know how to turn contacts into leads, leads into prospects, and prospects into paying gigs. And we know how to nurture those along the way. And so the reality is this is about sales. You can all the old quotes and you miss 100% of the shots you never take. And we can say all of those, but the reality is most of us are not famous. Nobody knows. Here's the interesting statistic about my business. Half of my paid gigs come from companies, organizations who had no idea who I was until we reached out to them. And this is unheard of in the speaking industry. I saw on the NSA Facebook page, there was a post a couple of weeks ago, and it said, somebody was talking about responding to RFPs or doing our, and person after person after person after person said, don't do it, not worth it, nobody pays, you won't do anything. And I write, are you kidding me? I made six figures from responding to RFPs last year. And people are like, what? Listen, I love our colleagues, I love those who train, but there's so many people who will say, I took this course on a better keynote. I took this thing on storytelling. I went to a boot camp on this and I can't get the phone to ring. Well, my God, pick up the damn phone. Mm-hmm. And so
let's talk about RFPs for a second, request for proposals. So talk to me about your experience in the differences between getting the keynote in an RFP versus my experience has been sometimes you can go around the RFP process if you're in the keynote spot, but are you saying that there are some that you can actually get the keynote through that position as well or through the proposal?
Jane, nobody knows it better than you do. The only time we get keynotes, I mean, rarely, a few a year, specifically through that. But we do go around it. We do use it to spark the conversation. So Here's the thing about RFPs. You can reach out to almost any association. Hey, I see you got a meeting coming up in November. I think David Averman would be a great fit. Click on this link, blah, blah, blah. Oftentimes, they'll take us to the RFP. Sometimes it's the speakers bureau, others who will book the main stage and the RFP will do all the breakouts. And people say, don't do them, they're for breakouts. Generally, they're right. They are for breakouts.
Okay.
We probably get two or three wins a week that we just declined. Somebody will come back and say, hey, you've been selected. We're excited. What do you pay? Well, we don't pay. Well, we don't do it. So we don't mind saying, no, thank you. That's not our business model.
Okay.
I don't refer it to colleagues because I think it's insulting to refer them free gigs. We don't do mm-hmm. gigs that are free unless, of course, it's to association executives or to speakers because speakers don't pay speakers.
Your ideal audience. So tell me one or two that you might do for free.
Oh, I would. We all do MPI, we do ASAE, and we do NSA, right? You know, if it's speaker colleagues, I've spoken to six main stage on six national NSA or speaker associations around the world. Of course, they don't pay. But if the meeting is full of meeting planners, we all do that. But let's get back to the RFP really quick.
Okay,
so I want to make sure I answer your question.
Sure.
When we fill them out, we sort of have a template, so we can do them fairly quickly. But we use that sometimes to go around and find out. We'll also apply and say, who's, and they'll say, oh, we're very interested. And we say, listen, or we'll say, they'll come back and say, we don't pay, or we only have, a couple thousand dollars, whatever. And say, listen, if you'll book David for the keynote, if there's an opportunity for the keynote, he'll throw the breakout in for free.
Right. Now,
10 years ago, that was a competitive advantage. All of us do that stuff for free. We get that. So we really push, give him the keynote. And we'll do the other one for free. So when we get a lot of requests for the free gig or you've been selected, that just begins the conversation for us. we're not saying no writer. We're saying, okay, who's in charge of booking the main stage?
Right.
If you do that, he's happy to. And we have our spiel down. She'll say, you know, this is Tiffany, my brilliant assistant business manager here in my office. And she'll say, listen, you're paying for him to leave his kids. Once he's there, he loves what he does. So he'll facilitate your lunchtime panel discussion. He'll do a breakout or a masterclass. So for us, RFPs are incredibly valuable because sometimes we get a full fee breakout done. You know, we'll do that in a heartbeat, but we use it to begin that conversation.
So RFP equals FID, foot in door. Absolutely. I like that.
I like that as well. That's
okay.
Great.
So I have just so many questions for you. I practically don't even know where to begin. You probably have a machine of things that are running that is kind of aside from a direct sales approach. You know, do you blog and podcast and things like that that keep you out there as a thought leader?
Sure.
Talk to us a little bit about that, and then we'll set that aside and we'll go right into sales.
Here's the thing that we all know as speakers. There's a lot of things that we should be doing. We should be. I do some of them. I send out a newsletter. I've got a pretty good following around the world. I do my little 1 minute marketing or customer experience videos. I tend to be on other people's podcasts more than my own because I'm on the road so much that I'm just not as comfortable doing it from the hotel room. And I got to pack this really nice Blue Yeti microphone and everything else that
it's
I do.
It's a beast.
Yes. But you know, I should be doing it more, but I'm very active on social media. I'm very strategic in terms of posting online videos, where I'm located. And I'm pretty strategic about that right now. If you go on YouTube right now, anywhere in the world, because it's the internet, and you type in marketing speaker or you type in best marketing speaker, I come up number one or number two. I own two of the top three slots, but that's just because I'm cranking out content. It's not because the internet doesn't judge that I'm the best marketing speaker. It's that I've got content to be found.
Okay.
So having the presence in social media, all this stuff's very, very important. But I think the key to our success is that, like you said, we have systems and process. It's not automated. It's very high touch. But we have what we do on every Monday. Here's what we do on every Tuesday. Now, I'm fortunate to have Tiffany in the office, but I'd be doing this on my own if I didn't have staff as well. And we're reaching out a lot. So one of my colleagues asked, how are you converting such a large proportion of the pitches that you send out? And I said, honestly, I don't know that we are. We're just pitching constantly. And so we buy the list through Hoover's, which is the old Dun & Bradstreet that gets us all the corporate ones. We know the titles, education director, meeting planner, HR director, sales manager, whatever that we're pitching. On the association side, we buy the lists and we take those. We know what that first contact is. We don't really pick up the phone. We'll do that for follow-up. Nobody wants to be called. We send a very simple email. I know you've got a meeting coming up at this time. I see you had this person last year, so that we get a sense. We do that research, so we know what their fee range is.
In the subject line. You put the name of the meeting in the subject line?
This is the key, and I'm so glad that you asked that.
Okay.
We have tried and failed, Jane, with everything for 7 years since Tiffany's been with me. And we found the one thing you put in that subject line that gets five times the response is the name of their event.
That's what I thought, because if it's about my event, I'm not going to delete that email.
Well, you're not sure. You're curious enough to open it up.
I need to know if it's something that I need to look at or not look at. So I was thinking about that a little bit. Good for you.
Yeah. So we have a very simple pitch that we send the first letter.
Okay.
We send those on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
And then on Fridays, we send out a hard copy version of a mailing letter. So it'll arrive on Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week. We have certain days that we follow ups that we do 2 weeks out from the first one. If they don't respond, we respond there. We do it another month later if they don't. And we're constantly sort of watering those seeds. We talk about planting seeds. Steve Gilliland is phenomenal at sort of continuing to water those seeds. We booked two gigs in January that Tiffany's been working on for 3 years.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that she's constantly hammering them, but if we don't get the gig, they go back in the rotation. We're pitching again, and maybe it's a new title that connects later on.
So even though it's high touch, your timing of what you do and when, all of that is systemized through your CRM so that people are not falling through the cracks. And I would say that that is likely a big miss for a lot of people.
Most.
Again, there's just so many things you're saying. I'm like, let's talk about that. So you're just a wealth of exciting information here.
And Jane, what's interesting is this comes from having done it poorly. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a little big for my britches and business was good. And then I realized I'm riding high, which a lot of, you get a new book and all of a sudden there's some demand. But we have some wonderful, cherished friends and colleagues who have gone through all the booms and busts that we all do. And the mm-hmm. only way that we can have some measure of predictability, of sustainability, is by having systems in place to follow up. If you have that contact, put them in the system. What did you talk about last time? When are you going to talk to them next time? And reaching out without that, and if you got a desk full of sticky notes.
Or an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, you're headed for a fall. And I'm one of those people that the whole idea of systems, they just make every sphincter in my body close up because I'm sorry, a little graphic.
You're the first one to say sphincter on the Wealthy Speaker podcast. What? I really like that.
Mark that down. This is a momentous day. But, you know, I'm not very good at it, but fear is a hell of a motivator, isn't it? I wake up and I look at my big house and my very high maintenance kids and the college bills, and I get my butt to work. And once again, and I know you preach this as well, speaking is the business is getting the gig. Mm. And so our focus is on getting the gig. And my business used to close down every time I got on a plane and it opened again. And so if there's a way to hire staff, and I'm going to give you a $1 million little secret right now.
Ooh, yes.
Another $1 million secret. And I learned this from James Taylor, who our friend from the UK, who does the virtual thing as well. A great friend, but, I have people that work for me overseas. And I'm not talking about Fiverr and Upwork. I'm talking about staff. So I have two remarkable young women who live in the Philippines.
Okay.
Who do nothing but prospect. They fill out our form. They look up organizations. When was their last meeting? When is their next meeting? Who are the speakers?
Doing all your research.
All the research. I don't know for what I pay for Tiffany, my brilliant business manager, I want her selling. I want her booking. I want her doing my travel.
Not doing the research. That's so smart. And
pedestrian.
Don't you love that you are likely changing somebody in the Philippines' life?
And
and it's not necessarily a big salary that you're giving them, but you are giving them income that they may not have had. And, you know, $20 an hour to you feels like a steal. Whereas $20 an hour to them on the receiving end is really an amazing thing.
Well, and I will tell you, to be honest, it's far less than $20 an hour. I'm paying them what they quoted me, but here's the kicker.
Okay.
I pay them incredibly well. So on the surface, it's a very inexpensive thing. They're very pleased. I give them full-time work. But every time we get a gig, every time anything, I'm throwing them $100. It's like a week worth of salary. So they're so grateful.
That is so nice.
They are becoming
hard for you.
Family for us. Mm. And so there's nothing that makes me feel better than to just knock their socks off with a nice little bonus. And I so, like
how did you find them originally?
I found them. There was a I'm trying to think of there's a lot of websites that will, you can hire talent overseas. There is one that is, I can't even remember, but I'll let you know later. Just anybody
we'll
look online.
Put it in the show notes when you come back to notes. Me.
There's a lot of resources for things like that, but they're part of my team. They're part of my staff. And what they do is when Tiffany comes in on Monday morning, she's got her whole spreadsheet filled in. Here's all the organizations. Here's the contact person. And so then we put our machine to work.
Okay.
And so we have a very well-crafted opening email.
Right.
And with the right links, we understand the behavior. Our one goal is to get them to my website at visibilityinternational.com. Click on my preview video. They'll know in 3 minutes that I'm their guy.
Your video is really strong. I have a quick question, then I want to go through your day, your days. Spinoff. Talk to me about how important spinoff is as a part of your strategy.
You mean in terms of eliciting additional gigs after the gig?
Every engagement coming away from.
Oh, yeah. Now listen, there's a reality for many of us that the people who hired us are very different than the people in the audience. And sometimes the people in the audience are not in a position to hire. So you do a corporate gig, everybody else in the audience is an employee. They're not prospective, people to hire you. But there's wonderful tricks, and honestly, I've learned this from my NSA colleagues over the years, of peppering your speech with little clues that without overtly selling from the stage, right? Because I don't sell from the stage. Sure. But it's very easy for you to you know, if you speak to Drive Consulting, for example, it's very easy to be on stage and say, listen, so here's what we're going to cover today. I do a much deeper, in-depth thing in the consulting work, but for the purpose of today's presentation, what I want to talk about, right? And what did I just do?
Yeah, you planted a seed about consulting. Maybe tell a story about a consulting client. Yeah,
that's exactly it. So, like, I was working with a client just last month, and here's where, right? And so there we tell them that. And so, but yeah, absolutely, it's a huge part of it. You want to be so good that you're surrounded afterwards, and people coming up and they're going, like, wow, like, do you have a card?
Calendar, yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm a big believer in peppering your speech with little clues of saying, listen, I spoke to an organization last week in Los Angeles and they had a very unique challenge, right? And what did I just do? Mm-hmm. Just talk about speaking for another organization. So I find selling from the stage pretty distasteful, but I think giving them clues, as you said, telling success stories of others as well. Yeah. So it's a huge part. If everything we do is a one-off, we're going to be working really hard for
those. Right. You don't want to have to, that's more seeds. And so your seed planting is lightened by the fact that you're getting spin off of almost every engagement. There's going to be some audiences that nobody, but for the most part, there's something happening there. Okay.
If you're speaking for an organization and the audience is full of individual business owners and you aren't getting spin off, then you go back and look at your keynote.
Something's wrong. Okay. Yeah. Let's go through, on Mondays we do this, on Tuesdays we do this. And please know that when you didn't have a Tiffany, you would have done this yourself
because
required of the business.
And here's the reality. For those listening who don't have a staff person, and I think it's a great investment to make, especially if your staff person can earn you five times, you know, what they're making, and you have a good compensation structure put in place for that.
Yeah.
But listen, even if you're reaching out to three or four people a day. Imagine that it takes maybe 30 minutes to do research on a prospect. You pull up a list. Here's an association. Oh, I think I'd be a great fit for them. Let's look up and see. Okay, there it is. Meetings and events. When's there? Oh, look, this is just a meeting that's coming up. We can look up last year. You can put enough of that information. You can do that research in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you have a pretty good standard template, what if every morning between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., 2 hours, you did one every 30 minutes and you just pitch somebody with one easy goal, not about hiring you, but just get them to your website, look at your, that's four a day.
Yeah.
In the course of 5 days a week, you've reached out to 20 people in a month. It's 80 companies or organizations who had idea who you are. And the reality is we have time. You know, we love what we do. We can be on stage in front of thousands, but 99% of our time is by ourselves. In the Uber, eating the chicken dinner, in the hotel by ourselves. This cruel dichotomy of our business, we all know it. But we've got downtime. I'm on a plane tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. I'm in Denver. I'm heading to the East Coast. Okay, maybe I'll find some time to sleep. I probably will. But there's at least an hour or two that I can do some pitches. I can get some things done. There are a lot of people in our business, and Jane, you know this, who just come from a place of passion and they want to serve and they want to help people reconnect with joy in their life. And I get all of that, but somebody's not, they're not going to pay to help their people increase their joy in an organization, but they will pay to have somebody help increase their sales and develop their leaders and guard against disruption and all of those things.
If they can figure out how the joy leads to productivity or something.
Absolutely.
That affects the bottom line.
I mean, motivational speakers can do great. We both know that.
Yeah.
It just has to be, give that person who's hiring a strong argument against somebody who might be the naysayer internally.
Right. Okay. So just to be clear, you know, you would be doing this yourself if it wasn't for Tiffany. And on top of all of this sales process and the Monday through Friday work, you're putting out a newsletter. And one of the big, big things I think these days is video, really being present on video. And I love that you're owning these keywords on your YouTube channel. You're doing OPPs, other people's podcasts, which I think is fantastic.
Sure.
I don't think people have to have their own. And you're very strategic about your social and the video likely that goes there. Okay. Right. So walk us through Monday through Friday and how what comes out of your office during those days.
Okay. And I will be a little bit candid that we're not going to talk about everything. This, I do a boot camp a couple of times a year as well. We're doing something at the NSA as a pre-conference, but I'll give you a quick overview of what it is we do on Mondays. Well, a lot of it is just catching up on everything that happened over the weekend. But we start doing what we just call karma, of course, and we both share that we do the karma CRM system. And we're inputting, Tiffany's inputting everything that was sort of researched over the weekend, prioritizing. We're actually sending out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, primarily Tuesday and Wednesday. Mondays, we don't do a lot of pitching because everybody's busy. Right. We don't want to get stuck.
Everybody's clearing off their desk.
We're not doing any pitching on Friday because people will forget about it. We're not doing any pitching on Monday. So Tuesday and Wednesday and a little bit of Thursday is when we send those. Monday, they have a chance to clear out their inbox. So we're doing a little bit of research on Mondays. But on Tuesday and Wednesday, we are literally sending email after email after email. And one of the things that we know about this business is the sales cycle is about, lead time is about 8 to 18 months out when somebody is booking. So if we're booking somebody, I mean, if we're pitching somebody now and their conference is coming up in September, they're already booked. So maybe their committee will start meeting again in January. They'll make a decision in March for the following September. So we want to make sure that we're in there. So we're sending the initial pitches. We're logging those in our CRM, in our Karma CRM system, so we know the day that we pitched. And then we're putting a little reminder for 2 weeks out. So if we hear nothing back, we will send a reminder 2 weeks out. On Fridays, we send a hard copy version of that in the mail along with a brochure. We have a very clever multi-5-page...
So that is a good use of the one sheet brochure, whatever you want to call it. Absolutely. You know, everybody says you need them, but nobody ever uses them for anything.
Nobody uses traditional one sheets anymore. And there's people who will argue with me on that. And they say, do you need a one sheet? And they'll say, well, if you ever want to get booked, I haven't had a one sheet in 6 years.
Okay. So your brochure is different, but I love that you're using different mediums.
Yeah.
We do emails. We do snail mail. We do phone calls, like every medium possible, but you have a use for it. And that's why I think it's great.
Yeah. And so when we do the hard copy sending out on Fridays, it's because it's sort of a reminder. They've already received something. So this is their second touch. It's a very clever one. I don't care if they read it, but it's a great brochure and clever. So it looked like a big deal. On Thursdays is actually doing the follow-ups.
Okay.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, we're pitching. Thursday's a follow-up. Fridays, we're sending the hard copy. Now, if they get a response, if we get a response, then it sets a whole bunch of other things in motion. Right. We're sending them books. We're doing, for those who are familiar with BombBomb, we're doing the video email as well. And our conversion rate is off the charts. If we get to the point where I know I'm being...
Do you like overnight a book right away if you become a contender for a shortlist?
Absolutely. We kill them with kindness.
Okay.
She'll say, immediately say, hey, listen, Dave's going to be, is there some time next week? Dave might be in the road or in the office. Love to have a personal conversation.
Okay.
We send them a signed copy of the book. Mm-hmm. At the price point, Jane, at the price point for what we charge for what we do, even when somebody says, well, doesn't that take a long time to research each one? It's like, is it worth me sending a $20 book? Absolutely. So we send a book, we send a brochure, we do a video email. We're all say, hi, it's David Averin here. I know you've been talking to Tiffany in my office about the possibility of me coming and speaking at your conference in January in Las Vegas. I got to tell you, I think the fit is great. Let me tell you what I know about your industry, the challenges you have. Here's how I fit. Please work with Tiffany. If there's anybody on your committee that wants to have a conversation before and help you make a decision, I'm happy to do so. I think the fit is great. I hope we have a chance to work together, blah, blah, blah.
Love it.
They're hearing from me on a regular basis. We do not take a passive approach. We do not send it out and hope that, listen, where the chips fall. I'm fighting for this.
Yeah. You're out there showing them that you're the right guy. And, you know, you're walking your talk, really. That's what you're out talking about on the main stage, too, is doing the things that it takes to get the business. And, you know, people can poo-poo whatever part of that if they want to, but you're doing what works.
Right. Hey, well, listen, the other thing I'm talking
about,
and I talk customer experience. We have the best customer experience.
Mm.
The other part, and I think you will concur with this as well, and this is where I think a lot is, we're stunned at how other speakers fall short on this, is our response time is absolutely as fast as you can imagine. There's so often, I mean, Tiffany Traxxas, how often we get the gig before the other people even respond. Because I equate it with this. If you're looking for somebody to do sprinkler repair, mm-hmm. call people on Craigslist. And the first one you call, you get a voicemail. Are you going to leave a message? Nobody leaves them. You just call the next one, the next one. Mm-hmm. So people call us, we'll respond quickly. We'll talk about the right thing. We'll get the gig. And by the time the other person responds 2 days later, oh, it's already locked up. Sorry, we already have somebody. And because I do a lot of work internationally, we're answering the phone at 2 a.m, 3 a.m. People are like, well, don't you have any work-life balance? I'm like, yeah, they're not calling every day. And Tiffany's like, hey, I'm on commission. I'm answering that damn phone.
I try to balance work-life for my own business, but I will tell you, I've been trying, we're doing another Accelerate Live coming up this fall.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to book one of my headline speakers for that. And I would say that it's been 10 days and I still haven't heard anything back. Stunning. So I'm moving on to the next. I mean, most people in this situation wouldn't even have waited 2 days.
No.
And no, I waited 10 and then I pulled the plug. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on at your end. I have sent 2 emails and left a voicemail. Most people would never do that much.
Stunning. Well, here's the other thing that makes me laugh. And I actually talk about this on stage in my customer experience one, is those who put contact forms on their website, no email, no phone number. And like,
oh,
what's
the deal? That's my pet.
And they're like, well, that's how we want them to contact. I'm like, well, how do they want it? So, but to be fair, because I have multiple businesses, I have contact forms on all of them. I also have cell phone numbers.
Yeah.
I have email addresses.
Above the contact form.
I have a cranial implant for them directly access my cerebral cortex. I am the most accessible person because it's the nature of what we do. And listen, absolutely, for anybody listening who's poo-pooing that and work life, we're not getting, nobody's that busy that you're getting calls at all hours of the day and night. But you know what? If somebody calls at 10 o'clock at night and they want to book me to keynote thing, you bet I'm going to talk to them.
And keynoting is a 24/7 business, which is why I used to manage speakers. And that's why I don't manage speakers anymore, is because I like to be able to go away, leave an autoresponder, and there are no speaker emergencies, and that's what I do. So speaker coaching. So, okay. Wow. This is great. So thank you for walking through Monday through Friday. We really didn't explain. So I've been a Karma CRM partner or affiliate, I guess I would say. If you want to know more about Karma, you can go on our speaker launcher, click on the Business Boutique page, and you'll see that Karma CRM is right there. But I've been doing webinars with Austin, who you probably know from Karma, a great guy, and JP. But you have been integrally involved in this. So
from the beginning. So JP John Paul, who started Karma, founded that, is here in Denver where we are. So years and years ago, we adopted it very early. And we have actually spent the last 6 years helping them modify it to work with a speaker, with our business model. So every time that Tiffany came upon something, some scenario, some challenge, or wouldn't it be great if we had this feature, she would just tell them, and they were wonderful and they responded. And so now the current version and Karma Speaker really is geared towards our life. Now, whether you use Infusionsoft or use Salesforce or whatever you want, as long as you have something, but I think most of us don't have a very complex business model.
Yeah.
If you are constantly sending things out, if you want to automate everything, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of receiving it, let alone sending it. But to be able to really personalize and have all of this in the system, it's a very intuitive and easy one. It's Karma with a K, Karma CRM, and we're big fans.
You know, templates, it's all about the templates. What's funny is what Tiffany is doing now, what I did for e-speakers like 150 years ago when that was first starting, all that was an event management tool back then. They've blown it up. And I would say to Dave, hey, Dave, you know what'd be really cool is if we could track the boxes that we've sent to blah, 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 you know, for the books and what have you. And okay, we're going to add that. And I just think that being a part of that process is super cool. I love that you guys have done that. So you can go in and I do use Infusionsoft, but when I did the thing with Austin, the webinar, I wanted to jump off the Infusionsoft bandwagon and over to Karma, because I love the CRM. I think that the strength for Karma is the CRM portion, whereas Infusionsoft is more that kind of marketing campaign machine. So, I would like to figure out if I can meld them together. I doubt that I can, but
we've had others who've come to our little boot camp. We have our own little boot camp that we do just for speakers at speakingbusinessretreat.com. And we've had several who come in after we sort of give our pitch, and we're not overtly selling any. We just say, here's what we do, have gotten rid of their Infusionsoft and others as well. If you have a robust business model, Infusionsoft is wonderful. I mean,
much with credit cards, and we're US and Canadian, and there's a lot of moving parts, and I just don't see it happening. Sure. But I really, really love Karma. And I think that what is so cool is that it pings up and it reminds you to do something, and then you have the templates already developed. So, you know, you kind of say it's high touch, but it's all high touch, but templated and formulated, and you'll customize it to meet what you need. It's not starting from scratch every time.
We are not recreating the wheel, but it's the same thing for our presentations. Most of us are not doing custom presentations. We will tailor, but we go in with our message. Right. And we'll tailor it to that audience, whether it's in the you know, financial services or hospitality or restaurant retail, whatever it is. But we do the same thing. So we have templates because we have several verticals. We do a lot with financial services. We do a lot with hotel and hospitality. We do a lot with dental. I mean, that we have specific templates and letters, but we will absolutely tailor it with the name of their event. So that they know it's to them. Nobody will ever receive anything from our office that looks like boilerplate, that looks like a mass email to whom it may concern.
Right.
We don't
know anything about the event. And the more you can share with them that you know about the event, then the more they at least know that you've done your homework. And I think they appreciate that. We had a meeting planner come into our office when I worked back at the Speakers Bureau, and he played us all these messages that he just ended up deleting because they knew nothing. They were calling to ask the date of the event.
Yeah.
When is your next event? Well, if you can't even do that much research, delete, delete, delete. So,
but here's the pushback that we get from our speaker colleagues. And this is where I just want to shake them, because we have so many colleagues who are so damn good at this. Mm-hmm. We're so good at their message and being a good messenger, but they're falling short on the business part. And they really bristle at the idea of researching one company and finding out the information and sending them a letter. And it doesn't sound time efficient. I'm like, what's the alternative? Mm. Not doing that? Sitting home? I mean, it's the same thing when you talk about fees is, if you're not known, if you aren't attractive, you know, we'll do that. And we can talk about fees. We can talk about whatever. Here's the other part I want to make sure that we talk about is that you can reach out to a lot of people. If they don't like what they see, whether it's the content of the letter, the format, or when they go to your website, then it's all for naught. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that you and I both agree on very much is that when they come to look at you, and they will look at you because everybody does, you have to knock their socks off. Your video has to be great, because they're not going to take a chance. You know, it's got to knock their socks off.
And video plays such a role. And I would encourage people to go, let's say the name of your website, so that they can take a look at that video that you have.
Sure. They can go, you can go to my website, go to visibilityinternational.com, Visibility International, and scroll down. I've got a brand new one that, for my customer experience keynote, that was actually edited together by my daughter,
who is a superstar.
She produces for a DreamWorks subsidiary in Los Angeles. So my oldest daughter, here's my plug.
You're slumming it there.
My oldest daughter, Sierra, who grew up in the NSA youth program, and she's a youth leader and everything else, went to High Point University. Could we get more NSA than sending my kid to High Point? She produces for DreamWorks, but she's actually doing speaker preview videos.
Oh,
killing it. I'll even give you the website for that.
We'll put it in the show notes. Tell it.
Go to impressionability.com, impressionability.com, and you'll see her, and you'll see some samples. She just finished another one today.
I love it.
Super cheap building her portfolio, but she's killing it.
Oh,
but if you want to look at mine, just as an example of what sort of that new genre,
mm-hmm.
go go to visibilityinternational.com, click on the one that says customer experience. You'll get a good sense. But there's some of our colleagues that are killing it. Great videos. Tim Guard's got a great one, of course. Kendra Hall kills it.
Yeah. You were the one that wrote the cute thing. Kendra's one of my clients, and you said, I think we can all agree that NSA has a collective crush on Kendra Hall after she spoke there last year.
We do. She killed it. And I know you worked with her. And you don't want to say, hey, give you the credit, because she is...
Oh, she's so brilliant. She came to the table.
She's so brilliant. Knocks your socks off. But what a great combination of skills and charm and talent and business savvy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, and you look at her video now, it's just sort of that lit match and her voice over it. That's the new genre.
Yeah. Telling a story.
And you see it on mine as well. Once again, not holding myself up, but saying you have to, if you're looking to make it in this business, if you have a video that's 3, 4, 10 years old that says, so-and-so is one of the most popular speakers on the circuit today.
Sought after.
One of the most sought after speakers having done this and this. That's not the genre today. That's not how they're done. And understand that everybody is competing against everybody. Nobody's making this decision in a vacuum. They're not saying, should we hire this person? We're saying, no, we got 4 slots open. We have thousands of speakers. Who's going to knock our socks off?
So I did a little research with one of my friends who books big meetings the other day, and she told me that the average budget was around $150,000 for speakers. Because a lot of people will say to me, really, can I really get paid that much? I don't believe you. I don't believe that the budgets are there. And that's because they're not kind of working with the right level of audience.
Right.
And so I did this research. I said, well, how many speakers would you get for $150K? And she said, probably around 4. Or maybe it could be, she said, I might squeeze out 5 of it.
So, of the main stage people.
Main stage speakers. So the budgets are there. Let's talk a little bit about fee and fee perception. If your fee is too low, that is a problem.
Huge problem. Jim Pansera had a great line. And he said, I saw him in a presentation once. He says, when you set your fee, you set your competition. So wherever you price yourself, that's who you're going. Isn't that brilliant? That's who you're going against. If you set, and we're not going to talk specific, but if you set your fee at 20, then you know those people who are at that 20 range. You set your fee at 15, you set your fee at 10. But here's the thing that I've come to recognize.
Good one, Jim.
I want to keep busy. I got staff to pay. Mm-hmm. I got kids in college. I have a former wife. I have, you know, lots of things. So every time, and I'm not going to talk specific fees, but every once in a while, I'll book a fee at a really, really healthy rate. Not something that's customary for me, but I deliver in spades. I'll knock their socks off. And I'll come back to the office and I'll say, damn it. You know what? I am that speaker. I should be getting this. I should be whatever. And Tiffany, very calmly, she just waits. And then I get, and then she looks at me. She goes, are you done? And I said, yes. And she says, okay, I'm absolutely fine quoting that fee. Are you willing to give up 5 gigs at X price waiting for this one? Or do you want to stay busy? And then I put my tail between my legs and I say, I want to stay busy. And I'm fortunate. I'm very busy because I charge a fair price and I get booked a lot. It doesn't mean that when I'm working through bureaus, I can get a lot more. But I'm at a healthy rate and I book a lot because I'm conscious. I ran into a very well-known colleague of ours, and I won't say his name, at an airport. And I said, how's business? He says, I'm killing it. He says, I feel bad even saying that out loud because there's so much speaker bravado and so much crap that comes in. He says, but honestly, I said, to what do you attribute this big? He says, honestly, I lowered my fee.
Oh,
and I said, really? And this is a name that everybody would know. And he says, I'm killing it because I recognize that my market, and it was a specific industry. This is what they're used to paying. And he says, as opposed to speaking once or twice a month, I speak 5. He says, I'm making double what I made 2 years ago with a lower fee.
Oh, that's interesting. And so here's the thing. The industry and the Wealthy Speaker Show has always been about showing different ways of building your business. You know, sure, with the Ryans and the Kindras of the world, I've kept encouraging them to take their feet up because they're so flat out busy. They really can't manage the level of
right
work that they have. And so it's kind of like a supply and demand situation. But I totally understand where you're coming at this from. And I think from a sustainability standpoint, you just have to make sure that physically, mentally, emotionally, and family-wise, you can sustain that level of number of gigs. And it just goes to show there's no one way to do this business.
No, and listen, I've learned a lot from other colleagues. I talked to Carrie Lorenz, and she is brilliant and incredibly busy. And we've talked on the road just during lonely times. She's a great friend, and saying, hey, what are you doing or whatever? And I posted something, and she just calls because she's a good friend. And she does something that I have emulated as well. And she looks at her calendar at the beginning of every year, and she compares it to her kid's school calendar, and she blocks off, hard blocks, every basketball game, every volleyball game, and I do the same thing. My middle daughter played competitive basketball, varsity basketball, and I missed 2 games in 2 years because I block those things. I will not miss daddy events. Daddy that's at the parent-teacher conferences or at the school events or their Halloween parade. And I'm not knocking other people. I have the freedom to do that, but I do it because I do strike a balance, and that stuff's really, really important. Let's talk really quickly. Go back to Fee. You had said, if you charge too little, there is a perception of quality.
Yes.
You're consistently charging. I'm not talking trainers, and I'm not saying anything bad about trainers. It's a different genre.
Different scope.
But if you're charging less than $5,000, you're gonna get twice as many gigs at $7,500 than you'll ever get at $4,000, because it's a perception of quality. Now, I'm not talking local gigs. Nobody gets their fee locally. But if your fee is, I mean, bureaus won't even look at you until you're 10. But a good keynote is $7,500 to $10,000. It doesn't mean that we won't in the right circumstances take less. Everybody, bureaus talk fee integrity. I don't think there's any such thing. If you're available and it's better than sitting home, or you can double it up with something else, I got bills to pay. So I stay very busy because we're flexible, but my fee is my fee. And if they don't, then I'll either refer it or we'll see if it works for us. But if you charge too little, it's a perception of quality.
Agreed.
And you can get good gigs at a very high level, but you're just going to get far fewer of them unless you're in that realm where you're really hot right now. Sally Hogshead is killing it, and Peter Sheehan is killing it, and Kendra
Mel Hall, Robbins. Yep.
Mel Robbins, of course, probably the most booked on the planet. She and I did
they say that in her bio, most booked on the planet. And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty hard to live up to that, but I guess that's probably.
But she is. We did the Secret Service Summit together. We were just at MPI in Indianapolis, the WC thing together. She's killing it. And there's people who ride a wave of being really hot, more power to them, you know?
You know, just to, you know, this has gone way longer than we normally do, but that's okay. Just to wrap that up, we saw Mel speak, I think it was Washington a few years ago, before she had her 5-second rule concept crystallized. Right. And I thought, oh yeah, she was really good, you know, didn't really think too much more about it. But then somebody else told me later about the 5-second rule. And I'm like, well, wait, where was that? I really wanted that. And she just hadn't got it in it. And I think that the focus, actually having one thing that you're known for, picking a lane for her, took her from being really, really, really good to just like monumentally.
Right. Very much in demand. But I talked to her a lot as well at one of the events we did together. Mm-hmm. And she had some of the best promotional videos, showing her crowds around her, cameras sort of doing this 360 while people are mobbing her. And I said, where'd you get it? She goes, are you kidding? She says, I hired my own camera crew.
Yeah.
And I was just heading up because I just got back. I was in Bangkok and I spoke for the second time on the main stage for MDRT, for the Million Dollar Roundtable. And this event had 8,000 people in Bangkok, so I was going to hire my own crew. I wanted that shot from behind me, right, as I'm walking out on stage, and they wouldn't let me do it. But no, I get footage of everything, and if there's time when, you know, I spend an extra $600-$700 and hire a crew to follow me around, if I know I've got thousands of people in the audience, I want the shots of people mobbing me or whatever else. Listen, we're in business. It's perception. And once again, unlike Mel Robbins, I'm not famous. You know, like many who are listening, we're good at what we do and we just hustle. And of course, our job is to kill it on the main platform and make sure they're a hero for bringing us in. But we take the business part of this very, very seriously.
I feel like we could talk about this all day long. You are just, I love, you know, Focused Hustle is our theme, our hashtag this year. And everything we've been talking about falls exactly into the Focused Hustle stratosphere. David Averin, thank you so much. If people
thank you.
Know, let's give a plug for your NSA event, because this is coming out on June the 28th, which will be just in time for booking your pre-convention. If you haven't already done it, maybe it'll convince you to do it.
Yeah. You know what? I had a great conversation with Brian Walter, who is our great NSA president this year, some months back, and he said, we're thinking about doing a pre-conference. There's an additional fee, but try and keep it reasonable. All the revenue goes to NSA. Nothing goes to me or to Tiffany. And they said, would you be willing to do a few hours and give a sense of what you do? Now, last year in Orlando, we did a breakout session that was just, people were joking because the legend has grown since, but they turned 135 people away who couldn't get into the room. Well, it wasn't because of us. It was the subject, right? It was how to book gigs. Mm-hmm. So they said, it was super popular. Would you do a pre-conference? And we said, sure. And the registrations are off the charts. We're already over 80 people who have signed up for it. But go to the NSA, nsaspeaker.org. And when you sign up for the Influence Conference, there's a pre-conference session Saturday morning before everything starts from 9 to noon. I think it's $395. The other thing that for those who come to our, we only do twice a year, a very small boot camp at speakingbusinessretreat.com, is anybody who comes and wants to go to our full 2-day one, we're crediting that fee that they pay to NSA off the total. So it's super cheap. Cool. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. And then once again, if anybody wants to learn about me, I'm at visibilityinternational.com. If you want a really good speaker video, my daughter Sierra kills it at impressionability.com. And for the rest of you, I will see you in Dallas. At NSA, and Jane, I will see you as well.
Awesome. And Monica will put all those links in the show notes. And cool. I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And I will give you a big hug when I see you at NSA.
Looking forward.
Thank you, David. You know, today's podcast has been brought to you by the Wealthy Speaker 2.0 and the Wealthy Speaker Daily Success Planner combo. Some of our readers have told us that the Wealthy Speaker 2.0 absolutely changed the course of their speaking career. And the journal and Daily Success Planner, in terms of taking focused action every single day, has been a game changer for some of our clients. They're kicking butt and taking names because we have built the journal to help you build momentum. This summer, we are offering our best price on the combo, and it comes with some pretty terrific bonuses, if I do say so myself. Now, pop on over to speakerlauncher.com/journal, and you'll see all the details there. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you have listened on iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us a review. We appreciate you, and as always, we'll see you soon, Wealthy Speakers. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speakers Show. Please visit speakerlauncher.com for your free Wealthy Speaker audit, and visit speakerlauncher.com/podcast for show notes and many more resources to help you catapult your speaking business. See you soon, Wealthy Speakers.